Okay, everybody, see, I have the Maamar Makomos page. So let's begin from the beginning. The Mishnah says on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, Noshim Vavodim Uktanim Pturim Mikriyat Shema. So we'll have to discuss the case of Kriyat Shema, but for now we'll focus on the next two words in the Mishnah, Umin Hatfilin, which means that tefillin is called a mitzvah seishas man groma, and we want to understand why. But then, amongst the mitzvahs that they're chayavin, it says chayavin b'tefillah u'b'mezuzah u'b'berkas hamazon, which would seem to indicate that these mitzvahs are mitzvah seishas man groma. And certainly in the cases of mezuzah and berkas hamazon, it's muvan me'elav, we understand it very easily. In the case of tefillah, the Gemara is not so excited about it. And the Gemara says that indeed this chiyuv of women in tefillah is based on a chiddush. And what is that chiddush? That tefillah is rachmei ninhu. Mal detema, if not for this chiddush, I would have said hoel v'uksiv ba. With regard to tefillah, it says erev uvoker v'tzarayim, and therefore commits asesha's man groma dami. There are special times, set times for tefillah, three times a day. And that makes it into a mitzvah seishas man groma. So women should be exempt. Kamash malon, no. Since it's halacha of tefillah rachmei ninu, therefore women are obligated. And the obvious question is the following. What is the Gemara trying to tell us? Is it that women are chayav in tefillah because rachmei ninu, some sort of new concept or new machayav, new definition of tefillah? Or is the Gemara telling us that because tefillah is rachmei ninhu, that defines and classifies tefillah as a mitzvah seisha ein hazman groma? So we want to take a look at the Rambam and see what he says about this. But before we do that, I just want to add one other question, because this will give us, I think, a framework to understand this halach of women in tefillah. When the Gemara says, based on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Erev Voker V'Tzarayim, is this a Doraisa halacha? Is it that the Torah requires us to daven three times a day? Or is this Pasuk just being used as an Asmachta for a Mitzvah Derabbanan? That on a Doraisa level, perhaps, and we have to analyze this in the Rambam, it's enough to daven once a day. It's the Rabbanan who instituted a tefillah three times a day, Erev Voker V'Tzarayim. And here we get into the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah, Mitzvah Seilis Palel B'chol Yom. The Rambam says that every day engenders a chiyuv tefillah, Shenemar Avadetem Es Hashem Elokeichem. And even though the Pasuk says nothing about tefillah, at least not explicitly, but mipi Shmuel lamdu she'avoda zuhi tefillah, that the word avoda indicates tefillah. And if it didn't, if avoda was a more generic term that incorporated all of the mitzvahs of Torah, then it would not be a mitzvah save tefillah. Again, tefillah might be part of avoda, but you would not single out tefillah as a separate mitzvah in Taryag, because the Rambam has in the Shroshim, in the Sefer Mitzvahs, that any mitzvah that's koleles, you know, it's a general mitzvah that applies throughout, like avoda, is not to be counted in Taryag. But the answer is, based on the Sifri, that the word avoda here in this context means tefillah, therefore the Torah is commanding us in tefillah. This is the Rambam Shita. Who argues with the Rambam? Do you remember? The Ramban. Right. Whenever I ask you who argues with the Rambam, you really have two choices, either the Ravid or the Ramban. If it's the Ravid, we usually have to rack our brains to figure out why he argues with the Rambam. If the Ramban argues with the Rambam, we have to figure out the Rambam Shita. So the Ramban says that mitzvah saseh of avoda is not specifically tefillah. Avoda is a general mitzvah that encompasses all of the mitzvahs. And therefore tefillah is not doraisa. You'll ask me, but what about the pasuk, according to the Sifri, zui tefillah, is the avoda tefillah? That's a resmachta. That's not really simple, straightforward pshat in the pasuk. The pasuk itself is referring to all of the mitzvahs, not to tefillah. And the Ramban in his Sefer HaMitzvahs quotes many, many sugyas in Shas that seem to indicate that tefillah is derabbanan. But I think the Rambam has an answer to that question and all those questions. Because the Rambam admits that there is a very definite element of derabbanan, of achiv derabbanan in tefillah. The Rambam says, V'ein minyan ha-tefilos min ha-Torah, V'ein mishnah ha-tefilah zos min ha-Torah, V'ein le-tefilah zman kavua min ha-Torah. So there are three elements here, which we understand as being very important in Hilchas Tefillah, but yet none of them are Doraisa. For example, the requirement of more than one Tefillah a day is not Doraisa. The Nusach HaTefillah is not Doraisa. And the Zman HaTefillah is not Doraisa. All these are Derabbanan. But on a Doraisa level, how do I fulfill this mitzvah? Oh. So let's just... we'll skip a few words of the Rambam Halacha Beis. We'll come right back to that. Chiyuv mitzvah zu kachu. What is the nature of this chiyuv on a doraisa level? Shehei adam mischanein umispalel bechol yom. This is what we call bakasha. The Rambam uses a very emotional term, mischanein tchino, which is supplication. Umagid shvacho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But first, he doesn't just jump into his tchinos and his bakashos. He has to have an introduction. And what is that? Sheva. Magid shvacho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yakach shol tzrochav. Shutzorach lem bakasha b'tchino. Then, the Rambam adds a third element to tefillah. V'yakach nosein shevach v'hodoya l'ashem al hatova sheshpia lo kol echad l'fi kocha. Now he needs what's called hodoya to thank Hashem. So the Rambam has in his definition of tefillah doraisa a package deal that comprises three elements. The essence is the middle of the sandwich, like in any sandwich, right? The meat that's in the middle, that's the real essence, and that's the bakasha. But the bakasha has to be surrounded with an introduction and a postscript. The prologue is going to be shevach, and the postscript is going to be hodaya, and the three together with bakasha in the middle form the essence of tefillah doraisa. Oh. Now we have to ask ourselves the following question. How do you classify tefillah? Is it a mitzvah seish zman groma? Or is it a mitzvah seish ein zman groma? And then we go back to the beginning of Halacha Beis, which we skipped for a moment. Ulefichach, now that we've determined that the zmani atfilah are not doraisa, therefore, lefichach noshim v'avodim, avodim have the same din as noshim, as far as mitzvah is concerned, that's called la-la, the Gzeirah Shavah that teaches me to compare an eved to an isha. Noshim v'avodim chayovim b'tfilah. Why? So the Rambam says explicitly, l'fishi mitzvah say shelo azman groma. So when we go back to the Gemara that we started with here on Daf Chaf Amid Beis, and the Gemara wants to know, what is it about tfilah that could be understood in two ways? You know, there's a havamina and there's a maskana. The Gemara vacillates back and forth. And the Havamina certainly defines the mitzvah of tefillah as mitzvah seish zman groma. That's explicit. Would the kamashmal and the maskana be that no, tefillah is a mitzvah seish lo zman groma? It only says in the Gemara kamashmal, and then it says tefillah rachme ninhu. So the Rambam, for one, gives us a clear-cut answer to this question. What's the final maskana of the sugya? How do you define and classify tefillah? It's a seishen azman groma.
But the Gemara didn't say for the reason the Rambam said, because it's not a tefillah not with deraisa. The Gemara didn't say that.
Right, the Gemara didn't say that zmani tefillah derabbanan. The Gemara doesn't go into that. The Rambam is just pointing out that on a doraisa level, there is no such thing as zmani atfilah. And that's critical for the Rambam in order to set up his conclusion that women are obligated in this mitzvah because the mitzvah says she ain't at zman grom. Meaning, the Rambam is implying that had it been that zmani atfilah would be min haTorah, then nashim would be pturos mi tefillah because it's a mitzvah seish hazman grama. The reason why women are obligated in the mitzvah of tefillah is because zmani atfilah not doraisa, and therefore the mitzvah of tefillah is mitzvah seish hazman grama.
What I'm saying is, why isn't that point also critical for Gemara? the Gemara came to a different conclusion. Because Rachmin knew, so therefore some explanation to Anna's Makro.
That's how the Rambam is going to interpret it. Somehow there's a connection here between Rachmin and Mitzvah Seisha Anna's Makro.
The Rambam doesn't use that pasuk of Tzorayim.
And the Rambam doesn't quote that pasuk at all.
I just remember, when you keep saying the word Tefillah, yeah.
We're talking about the Amidah, the Shmon Esrei. Right,
Amidah.
Right.
You're talking about Tefillah.
Now, and Michael, the answer I gave you is not really precise, because when the Rambam's talking about Tefillah, he's talking about Bakasha, that's sandwiched in between Shevach and Odoya. The Amidah is a matbeya shetovu chachamim. The Ram is really at this point not. He's implying that the Rabbanan are going to create a nusach hatfil, which is what we call the Amidah.
They had already created.
But again, in the Rambam's frame of reference at this point, we're not talking about the Amidah. The Rambam doesn't recognize the Amidah here. You know, later on, when he gets into the Drabbanans, right now the Rambam is sort of clearing away all the distractions, all the Drabbanans, focusing on what's pure Doraisa. And the Amidah, as we know it, was established by the Anshei Knesset HaGdola.
That was years before.
Correct, but that's not what the Rambam is referring to. You know, the Rambam wants to know what was it before the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. The Rambam is going back to Tefillah Doraisa because it's critical for the Rambam to establish the definition of Tefillah Doraisa and draw the implications from that definition. He's not just interested in the abstract definition of tefillah, which for sure he is. What is tefillah d'oraisa? Before the Anshei Knesset HaGdola.
Where does he get those three things? Where does he get that from?
So the Kesef Mishnah has a long discussion about what the source of the Rambam is. It really derives from Parshas Vayeschanan, because there, if you take a careful look at Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah, Ata Achilosa L'Harosis Avdecha, you'll see that Moshe Rabbeinu begins with Shevach, then he asks Hashem to, Ebronah ve'eres ha'aretz ha'tova, and then he concludes with a hodoya. So that if we get a chance, I'll tell you where the discussion about that is. The Kesef Mishnah quotes this pretty early in Hilchas Tefillah. And he says that it's actually a Gemara in Brachos. We didn't get to it yet on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. Darash Rav Simloi, Li Olam Yisader Adam Shvacho Shal Hakadosh Baruch Hu VeAchar Kach Yishal Tzracho Shekein Motzino BeMoshe Rabbeinu Dechsiv Hashem Elokim Atachi Losa. Right, and then it says Laharos Asavdecha Uksiv Basrei Ebrono VeEres Haaretz Hazos HaTova VeHalvonon. Right, he came to Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, Michael, there's a long discussion here whether or not Moshe Rabbeinu can teach us Doraisas. Again, the Kesef Mishnah doesn't blink about this, but if you take a look in the Sefer HaMafteach in the back, there's a great deal of literature on this. But be that as it may, I'm going to rely on the Kesef Mishnah for the time being, that the Gemara in Brachos Lamed Gimel is the source for the Rambam in defining what is mitzvah, what is the mitzvah of tefillah, what comprises the mitzvah of tefillah on a Doraisa level. And now, you'll ask me the question, but anyway, we have the Anshei Knesset HaGdola who organized the tefillah as it is with the Amidah. So why do I have to know, is it purely conceptual to know what was the Doraisa definition of tefillah? Today already it's all fleshed out and incorporated into the final formula of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, the Amidah as we know it. So I'll give you a number of nafkaminas. For example, what happens to a person who doesn't have the possibility of reciting the entire Shmon Esrei? For example, he's going to daven in a Makom Sakana, a Tefillah Ketzara, or perhaps the Tefillah Havinenu. And all these abridged forms of Tefillos, which do not reflect the takon of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, because he's in a pressing situation, can't do it, they will all require these three elements, because that's Doraisa. But that's already more sophisticated. On a simple level, as we read the Rambam, the implication of defining Tefillah Doraisa is the Chiyuv of Noshim. Because we've defined the Chiyuv of Tefillah in a way that we've cut out all the Drabbanans, and especially the Zman Kavua Derabbanan of Shachris, Mincha, and Ma'ariv. Therefore, what we're left with in terms of the nitty gritty tefillah as the Torah designed it, is a mitzvah say shelo azman groma. In other words, when the Rambam understands rachmei ninu means this is not bound to any particular time. Rachmei ninu means we're depending upon the compassion of Hashem once a day. That's how the Rambam understands.
And that's is it once a day, zman groma.
Oh, that's going to be my shiur for today, Michael. Excellent. You know, you're already light years ahead of me, but that's going to be the kishkas of today's shiur. But right now, at this point, for some reason, the Rambam thinks that despite the fact that each day engenders a new chiyuv, nevertheless, it still remains a mitzvah shelo azman grom. And Michael, you're there, throwing bomb kasha on the Rambam. I mean, l'chora, it's a mitzvah azman grom. And that's why I said before that we're going to have to get back to tefillin. If you'll take a look on the second side of your page, Tosis has a long discussion about tzitzis in Masechta Kiddushin. And perhaps that'll either help us or hinder us in understanding what is the definition of mitzvah seishes zman groma. And if you look at this next, almost the next source, well, actually three sources up on the page, there's a Tosin Kiddushin that addresses the case of tefillin and Lailav's mid tefillin, and that's what we want to study in order to appreciate the Rambam's definition of tefillah and his classification of tefillah as a mitzvah, say, shelo hazman grom. But first, Rabosai, I want to focus your attention on a Magen Avraham. And in my humble opinion, again, you'll hopefully fight with me on this, but I believe that the Magen Avraham is not pshat in the Rambam. Again, it's a chutzpah for me to say it, because the Magen Avraham is almost like a rishon, and he's so fundamental. But I'm allowing myself to say it because the Shagasari, I think, without mentioning the Magen Avraham, is also arguing with the Magen Avraham. So in order to appreciate where the Magen Avraham is coming from, we're going to take a look at the Mechaber, who's almost the word-for-word copycat of the Rambam, as he very often is. And the Mechaber is in Hilchas Tefillah Siman Kuf Vav, which I'm excited about because in my Chulin Shiur now we're up to Kuf Vav in Yoredeya, but this is Kuf Vav in Arachayim. So all roads lead to Kuvva. Noshim va'avodim af al pisha p'tur mikriyat shma chayovim b'tfila mipnei shehi shelo hazman grom. If I had the ability, the license to do so, I would add two words to the text of the Mechaber, mipnei shehi mitzvah saseh shelo hazman grom. But there's no doubt that that's what the Mechaber means. And the Rambam, as we saw earlier in Halacha Beis at the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah, Lefishi mitzvah say shelo azman grom. Now, let me, if you don't mind, give you an introduction to this Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham is going to address the following question. When we read the Rambam and the Mechaber, we can derive one conclusion that's explicit, and that is that women are obligated in tefillah d'oraisa. But what's not explicit in the Rambam is whether or not women are obligated in the mitzvah saseh derabbanan of tefillah. What I mean to say is the following. When the Gemara establishes, based on our Mishnah, that women are obligated in tefillah, the Gemara is focused, at least in its conclusion, again we have to see the Havamina, on mitzvah saseh d'oraisa of tefillah. And that's what the Rambam certainly understands, that kamash malon, that mitzvah saseh of tefillah on a d'oraisa level is a mitzvah she'ein hazman grom. That's crystal clear. But what's not clear, according to the Rambam, is what is the Gemara establishing as far as the mitzvah d'rabbanan of tefillah is concerned. Would the Rambam argue A or B? A is that just like women are obligated in mitzvahs tefillah d'oraisa, therefore B, they're obligated in mitzvahs tefillah d'rabbanan, which would mean therefore that how many times a day do they have to daven? a full three times a day? Or alternatively, does the Rama mean to say that mitzvahs asay the orais of tefillah insofar as it's a mitzvah say shalah asman grama obligates women, but when the Rabbanan instituted tefillah, namely zmane tefillah, which the Rambam hints at in Halach Aleph, when he says that zman kavu is only the Rabbanan, it's not the orais, huh? Would women be included in that? And perhaps you could say that, well, just like the Havamina of the Gemara of Erev Avokav Itzarayim is that therefore tefillah is a mitzvah say shazman grama, the Gemara never really rejected that Havamina. What do I mean? There are two dinim here. There's one din of tefillah d'oraisa and a separate din of tefillah d'rabbanan. The Erev Avokav Itzarayim might be admittedly a chiyuv tefillah three times a day, but it's only derabbanan. The Rambam establishes that my chiyuv tefillah d'oraisa is one time a day, and therefore what opens up here in front of our eyes is a fundamental chakira about what is the scope of the obligation of tefillah with regard to women. Is it limited to tefillah d'oraisa and so far as tefillah d'oraisa is law as man groma? Or shall we say that whatever's included in the chiyuv tefillah, the whole package deal, whether it's d'oraisa or d'rabbanan, women are equivalent to men?
Well, just on that idea that they might be tied to d'oraisa but not d'rabbanan, and how d'rabbanan transforms tefillah, when we daven, are we saying we daven three times a day, one of those gives us a chiyuv d'oraisa and two gives us a chiyuv d'rabbanan, or one gives us a chiyuv d'oraisa and it also gives a key of the Rabbanan, and then two more Rabbanans on the other ones? I mean, where do we get our key?
I think Yechiel is an overlap of both. For example, when a person fulfills his chiyuv d'rabbanan and he davens erev avokav etzarayim, he also in each one of those tefillos is mekayim a mitzvah tefillah d'oraisa, although he's not obligated three times a day d'oraisa, but nevertheless he obtains a chiyuv d'oraisa. And if I flip it around the other way, when a person fulfills his mitzvah d'rabbanan, he's also fulfilling a mitzvah d'oraisa. When he fulfills his mitzvah d'oraisa, he's also fulfilling a mitzvah d'rabbanan.
On all three tefillos.
Correct.
And so if a woman were to daven three times, you get three chiyuv d'oraisa?
Yeah, for sure. Why not? The question is, she obligated to daven more than once a day? And if she's only obligated once a day, because tefillah d'rabbanan is to be classified as a mitzvah say shazman groma, and if we go back to tefillah d'oraisa, and that exhausts their chiyuv because the mitzvah say d'oraisa shalo azman groma, what exactly is their obligation? How far do they have to go? Do they have to recite Shmoneh Esrei? Is it enough they say Moda Ani in the morning? This is going to be the discussion that we want to get into. But if you ask me, one thing I can tell you clearly, without a shadow of a doubt, that if the Ramban, not the Rambam, but the Ramban was sitting here in this room today, he would tell me for sure that women are obligated in tefillah d'rabbanan. What leads me to that conclusion? Again, that's not going to be the discussion among Avraham. But at least you have to grant me one thing. A woman has to daven three times a day according to the Ramban. Why do I have no doubt about that?
Is there no such concept as mitzvah shazman grama
d'rabbanan? There certainly is. But there's no d'oraisa of tefillah according to the Ramban. Therefore, when the Mishnah says that women are obligated in tefillah, what tefillah are we talking about according to the Ramban? Al karchach, willy-nilly, we have no choice. It's got to be tefillah d'rabbanan. And therefore, the Gemara reads pretty fluently according to the Ramban. Mal detema, I might think that since the Ramban, following the pattern of this pasuk in Tehillim, established three tefillahs a day, women were not included in that takaras chachamim. Why? Because tefillah d'rabbanan is certainly a mitzvah say shazman grama. That's the way the Ramban would learn it. It's got zmanim kvuim, and each time you daven to fulfill your chiyuv d'rabbanan, you're compelled to daven at a specific time. That's a classical mitzvah say shazman grama. Kamash malon, and now the chiddush is that even though it's a mitzvah say shazman grama, nevertheless, because tefillah rachmeninu, the Rabbanan decided as an exception to the rule to include women in this chiyuv. Because women need tefillah no less than men. Now you might say, well, okay, so give them tefillah d'oraisa, but the Ramban doesn't recognize the institution of tefillah d'oraisa. So all the Ramban has in his repertoire is tefillah d'rabbanan, is memela. When the Ramban reads this sugya, I have no doubt that he would come to the conclusion that women are obligated in tefillah d'rabbanan in the same identical way that men are obligated in tefillah d'rabbanan. So Rabbi said, when we learn this Magen Avraham, and the Magen Avraham is going to be very makel for the ladies, and he's going to give you this whole spiel that we haven't seen, that the ladies are very careful about davening three times a day, and therefore, you know, the Magen Avraham is going to have to redefine, you know, the chiyuv of women in tefillah and whittle it down in a very profound way. Let's keep in mind that all his justifications and all the antics of the Magen Avraham here to try to establish that a woman can get away with one tefillah a day, that's not going to help for the Ramban. And the Ramban is, you know, is no slouch. It's a serious rishon that we should consider.
The Ramban fits better with the Gemara anyway. The Gemara didn't conclude, therefore, tefillah is in this position, ain't as Magen Avraham.
Correct.
You can't say that. It's all
the Ramban is beautiful. That omission that we were perturbed about in the Rambam's reference is nothing according to the Ramban. It's not relevant. The Ramban is saying that ain't a chidami. And also the interplay between the Kamashvalon and the original statement of Tefillah Rachminin, which according to the Rambam forces us a little bit bedochak to come up with some explanation, that interplay is simple, straightforward according to the Ramban. Adarabha, according to the Ramban, we definitely need Tefillah Rachminin, because otherwise we don't understand why should women be obligated in the mitzvah of Tefillah three times a day insofar as it's a classical mitzvah, Seishas Man Grama. It's very interesting. We'll see Bulinet in the Mishnah Berurah on the bottom of your page 40. He looks for a case of a mitzvah d'rabbanan, which women are exempt from because it's man grama. And I thought personally that the classic example should have been Sfiras HaOmer, which is a mitzvah seishas man grama d'rabbanan bisman, and said we don't have the Omer, and yet women and because it's man grama, therefore women are exempt. Instead, he, for some reason, I don't know what, he stretches his arm out to Kiddush HaChodesh. You know, we go out on Motzi Shabbos to be Mekadosh to Levana, so it's a mitzvah seishas man grama, and we never obligated women in that. So you see that even on a d'rabbanan level, mitzvah seishas man grama noshim p'turos. The exceptions to that rule are Ner Chanukah and the Dalet Kosos on Leil Pesach and Megillah on Purim, because afein hayu bosar on this. But the very fact that the Gemara in three different sugyas in Shas has to activate the principle of afein hayu bosar on this to justify the chiyuv for women means that those are exceptions to the rule. The rule being that as man grama, whether it be d'oraisa or d'rabbanan, women are exempt from. Tefillah is going to be added now, according to the Ramban Shita, to that list of exceptions to the rule, where the Rabbanan incorporated women in the Chiyuv, despite the fact that it's a Zman Groma. We had the three Zmanim that we mentioned before. Now we can add that Tefillah, insofar as according to the Ramban Shita, Tefillah is a classical mitzvah seishas Zman Groma, the Rabbanan, and yet, because of this imposing, you know, need of Rachmanin, who the Rabbanan decided when they made the Takana to include with. So now we're going to see the Magen Avraham inside and the way he understands the Rambam. First of all, he tells you that the Mechaber mimics the Rambam, that we know. The Srile, the Tefillah Mitzah say do Raisahi, the Siv Uli Avdo Bechol Levavchem. And the Sifri says that Li Avdo Ezi Avodo, that's Tefillah. Achmidoraisa, die bepam achas bio. Not only that, ubechol nusuk sheyirtze. Right, so the zmani tefillah and the minyanat tefillos and the madeat tefillos, those are all drabbanon. Oh, lachein nagu rov nashim she'ein mispalos betmidus. How do the women get away with this? How is it that they don't recite Shmon Esrei? So the Magen Avraham thinks that he has discovered the secret here that will justify the minhag hanoshim she'ein rov noshim ispalos mishum de'omru miyad b'bok. They recite a tefillah immediately when they wake up in the morning. Sonoch le'netilah is a bakasha. They recite some sort of bakasha. Uvidereisa daibuzer. Now, what about the chiyuv chachomim? No, and on a derabbanan level, you need a full shmonesri. That's the matbea tefillah, and you need three times a day. Says the Magen Avraham, the afshar. You see, even the Magen Avraham is not so sure about it. He feels he's standing on shaky grounds. Shegam chachamim lo chivum yoseh. Again, in all this, Rabosa, he's saying within the framework of the Rambam sheet, that once the Rambam said that the reason why women are obligated to feel is because of mitzvah seishas van glava, says the Magen Avraham, b'med varamurim, that's only as far as tefillah d'oraisa is concerned. Women are obligated. It's a larz van glava. But when we get to tefillah d'rabbanan, it's a mitzvah seishas van glava and noshim p'turos. Frankly speaking, I don't see any remez in the Rambam to that conclusion. Now, I admit that the Rambam is addressing the case of tefillah d'oraisa, but if the Rambam thought that women are obligated to tefillah d'oraisa, period, and nothing beyond that, he should have told me that. On the contrary, I think the burden of proof is on the Magen Avraham, because the svara pshuta, the intuitive logic, would demand that since women are obligated on the d'oraisa level, then surely the Rabbanan would follow the pattern of the d'oraisa and obligate women. Meaning, let me try to explain. When the Rabbanan take a mitzvah d'oraisa and they expand it, the same rules that operate on a d'oraisa level operate on a d'rabbanan level. For example, on a d'oraisa level, on chayv and afroshes truma, on, let's say, Peiros Ha'ilon, or according to the Rambam sheet, on Zeisin Vanov. Now the Rabbanan say on Yerokos, I have to be Mafresh Truma. I can anticipate that once the Rabbanan extend the Chiyuv Truma to Yerokos, the same dinim that govern Hafrashis Truma Doraisa will govern Hafrashis Truma Doraisa. The Rabbanan. And therefore in Tefillah, whoever is obligated in the mitzvah Tefillah Doraisa should be included in the mitzvah Derabbanan. No, says the Magen Avraham, I don't accept that. Why? Because the Rambam is only going to obligate men insofar as they can take a chiyuv, even though it's man groma. He will never expand, the Rabbanan will never expand the chiyuv de Rabbanan, which is Zman Groma, to include women. That's the chiddush that's the approach, the premise of the Magen Avraham. Again, Rambosa, I don't want you to, on the one hand, I want you to appreciate the Magen Avraham, but on the other hand, I don't want you to buy this, you know, hook, line, and sinker. There's a definitely a different way of understanding the Rambam. The Rambam nowhere goes on record as saying that women are exempt from the mitzvah of tefillah d'rabbanan. And on the contrary, the intuitive logic would dictate that women are obligated to this d'rabbanan because it's the same mitzvah as the d'oraisa. It could be that the Magen Avraham himself offered this interpretation of Rambam because he realized he's in a strait. He's between a rock and a hard place. The Ramban for sure would obligate women in tefillah d'rabbanan. So how do I reconcile the minig hanoshim, rov noshim, that they're not makbid to be mispalel, with the fact that according to the Ramban they're obligated three times? The only way is to try to throw in the Rambam shita. And even though the Rambam never mentions that women are pturos, we're gonna have to push that into the Rambam at all costs. Then he writes by Ramban. So we're the tefillah d'rabbanan das rov haposkim. Now I don't know that you see the Magen Avraham bothers me a little bit because in Yiddish we say et gedaf fear nois, meaning he should have explicitly mentioned his conclusion, like, you know, he takes me to the water, but he refuses to drink from the water. I thought that what the Magen Avraham would say over here is that since the Ramban holds that tefillah is the Rabbanon, therefore it's so fact that the sugya of tefillah, which obligates women, is talking about the chiyuv three times a day of women. He doesn't spell that out. Maybe he's afraid to do so because that would really put Nashim in a very difficult position. If Rov Poskim accept the Ramban Shita, which means that women are obligated to daven three times a day, how is it that the women are, what are they, they're hiding behind the Rambam here, but Rov Poskim accept the Ramban? And even to hide behind the Rambam is a little bit wishy-washy. The Shagasariya says, and keep in mind he lived a good deal after the Magen Avraham, that the Rambam writes at the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah, "Mitzvah Seven HaTorah L'Spal B'Chol Yom, the Ein Minyan HaTefillah Min HaTorah Lo Zman Kavu Min HaTorah V'Avli Mitzvah Sei Shein HaZman Groma Kevin Deim Lo Zman Groma Kol Emesh HaMispal Bayom V'Lal Yotzi Dechovasu Min HaTorah." Whenever you daven, whether it's day and night, you fulfill your obligation on a deraisa level. Kevin Noshim Chayovos the Ikar. Oh, now this is the part I want you to underline. They came under Noshim Chayovin Beikar Tefillah Shel Torah. With regard to this mitzvah on the Raisa level, they're included. Is Osan Atfilah Shetiknu Rabbana Lizman Kavua? Afal Gav Dehavizman Groma Tiknu Nami LeNoshim. Hoel VeChayovin Beikar Tefillah Ben Torah. Why would the Rabbanan, when they instituted their, you know, they sort of carved or fine-tuned the Doraisa, which is just once a day, and it doesn't matter when and what you say, it's just any bakasha that comes. Why would the Rabbanan now, when they're trying to fine-tune the Doraisa, exclude women? Adarabba, Nashim HaChayovas Doraisa, the Ikra Tefillah, let's now include them in the Chiyuv that was established by the Chacham to daven Tefillah three times a day. And he doesn't seem to mention the Magen Avraham here. Ubegemara brina b'chayov mitfil de rachmininu klomer afgal mitfil avi mitzvah seishes man groma. But nevertheless, since it's rachmininu, is tiknu afli noshim, meaning the takana de rabbanan is even women. So Rabosai, if you line up the shittas over here, And this is what I'm saying as an introduction to the Mishnah Berurah. Look what comes out. You have a fundamental machlok between the Rambam and the Ramban about Tefillah Doraisa, Tefillah Rabbanan. According to the Ramban, Shita Tefillah Rabbanan, certainly, undeniably, women are obligated. According to the Rambam Shita, I think the simple, straightforward shot in the Rambam would also indicate that since women are included in the Doraisa, Tefillah, they're included in some fact in the Rabbanan. What you have is, you know, what I call a thin leg to stand on, if you want to justify women who don't daven on a daily basis, is the Magen Avraham. You feel?
Sometimes he's addressing the Rambam, but he's explaining that the Rambam concept of the Gemara is on the Rabbanan level.
Right, in other words, the Rambam would say the following, that since mitzvah say of Tefillah Doraisa says lo azman groma, you might think, mao de tema, that at least on the Rabbanan level they should be exempt. Why? Because Erev Avoka Mitzarayim transforms or defines the mitzvah on the Rabbanan level as a mitzvah say shes man groma, come mashmalan, that since Tefillah Rachmeninu, therefore they were mesakein that even women are obligated. Now again, without the Shagasai, we'd have said that the Rabbanan are just simply following the pattern of the Torah. But perhaps the Shagasai wants to give it even a little bit more teeth, you know, give it a little chizuk. He's saying it's not.
He's implying that they might have excluded the women if it weren't for.
Correct. Maybe you have to worry about women who are raising children and so forth and so on. You know, they can't run three times a day to daven. But the answer is Rachmeninu. So the Rachmeninu element of Tefillah is enough to motivate the Chachamim, despite all the difficulties and perhaps the harsh, strict nature of this obligation, to include women in the obligation. Speak a drop loud of my
computer. Maybe I don't understand the concept clearly. But you said earlier, in response to the question, that it's only a field on men to daven once a day in the Doraisa. Then you said, if they daven three times a day, they've got the kiyum mitzvah three times.
Right. Correct. So there's a distinction between what we call a chiyuv and a kiyuv.
Right.
A chiyuv means what's the minimal amount that I have to achieve implement this mitzvah. A kiyuv means I go beyond the minimal amount. It's like, for example, the famous Shita of the Gaon, that I'm only obligated to eat one kezayis matzah, but every single kezayis that I add is another kiyum ha-mitzvah.
It's not mitzvah d'oraisa.
And that's a kiyum d'oraisa. Because the Torah because says
every time you about some pasuk, it's a
the Gaon Shita. I'm not telling you, Michael, that you have to advocate, you know, in favor of the Gaon. I'm just giving you Lasaber Saozen. That's often what the Torah formulates, and we can give many examples of this, is the minimum obligation. This is the barest minimum. For example, in Karbanos, right? There's no doubt that I can bring a carbon that's not a carbon chova and achieve a kiyum d'oraisa. If it wasn't a kiyum d'oraisa, I would not be allowed to bring it because it would be what's called chulin lazara. Again, yeah, that's all sugya unto itself. But nevertheless, the Rabbanan will tell me, excuse me, the Torah will tell me, what's the absolute bare minimum, less than which you don't fulfill the mitzvah at all? So, for example, in the midst of sukkah, your absolute bare minimum is to eat one kizayis, or perhaps one kibetz of pas in the sukkah. But beyond that, every time I eat in the sukkah, I make a bracha, and I fulfill a kiyum d'oraisa. That's not a rabbinic institution. It wasn't that the Rabbanan said, go into the sukkah even after the first night, and we'll give you brownie points for the Rabbanan. So very often, so again, when we define and analyze, and this is the wonderful world of halachic thinking, we always have to analyze every chiyuv d'oraisa under the following question. After that chiyuv is fulfilled, is there anything more, or does the chiyuv begin the mitzvah and exhaust the mitzvah? So if I go with the first approach, I'm saying the chiyuv is the minimum. Beyond that, I fulfill a mitzvah d'oraisa. That's why the Gemara tells me in the third parak of Brachos, the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Halavai fishispalo odom kol yom kula. That when it comes to tefillah, it would be great if you could daven the entire day. It means that every time you daven, you fulfill a mitzvah. That's not a rabbinic institution. That's a kiyum d'oraisa. That's avodah shebaleh. The Torah only requires, and that's what the Rabbanan establishes in his opening formulation of the tefillah, the bare minimum of kiyum tefillah. How do you fulfill that barest minimum? Okay then? So the Mishnah Brura here in Sima Kuvod, every time you learn, and yet the barest minimum of Talmud Torah is Ksas min Ayom and Ksas min Alayla. That's the Rambam says in Perek Gimel Hus Tefillah. It's based on a sugya in Masechet Menachos. In fact, the Gemara goes far. The Gemara says that, and we discussed it many times when we were trying to define the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, that Kevet Shekara Kriyat Shema, Shachris V'Yarvis, is Yotzi Yedechovas Talmud Torah. I'm not talking about Kriyat Shema. But that doesn't mean that, you know, the Rabbanan are giving me a kiyum every time I'm in the Torah. The Gaon again goes very far. The Gaon says that every word of Torah is a kiyum d'oraisa. Every single word. And the later Bali Musa, based on this Gaon, they calculate how many mitzvahs you can get. Oh, we have it out here? Yeah, they come up with the astronomical numbers, you know. And some say that if you learn on Shabbos, that jacks up the mitzvah even more. Again, it's pretty interesting. But the Mishnah Brura here in Kuf Vav gives us an overview of everything that we've learned until now. He starts, again, we're not going to read it all, but I want to point out a major chiddush here in the Mishnah Brura. He starts by presenting the Shitas HaRambam, that tefillah is d'oraisa with the exception of zmani tefillah, which are only d'rabbanan. He goes on to present the Rambam Shita that on a d'oraisa level, once a day is sufficient, and any nusach that you come up with is sufficient. And then on the fourth line, he quotes the Magen Avraham. And the Magen Avraham wants to suggest, as we saw earlier, that based on this Rambam, we can come to the conclusion that women who don't daven on a regular basis are justified because the Darabbanan of Erev Avokah V'Tzarayim was not established as a chiyuv on women. And all they need is Eza Bakasha Min HaTorah, just one Bakasha, which they will petition when they wake up in the morning, and that's it, they cover the whole day. But then he goes on to say that according to the Ramban, and this is the first Kiddush of Mishnah Brura, but I think we could say Baruch Shekivanu, we came up with this Kiddush without the Mishnah Brura, that according to the Ramban, who says that tefillah itself is Midivri Sofrim, and it was established by the Anshei Knesset Gedola, then there's no question that women are included in that chiyuv. Why? Because there, even if you'll define this chiyuv as a mitzvah saseh shazman groma, and a mitzvah saseh shazman groma women are exempt. Kigon, he gives the example of kiddush levon. I don't know why he gave that example. By the way, on the side, the marshal. Don't publicize this, especially up the block here, because you'll see all the women floating. coming on Motzi Shabbos, you know, for Kiddush Levana. The Marshal holds that Kiddush Levana is not Zman Grum, and women are obligated. But don't again, that doesn't leave this classroom, because you know, I don't want to go into it, but you know, Dai B'Chakima V'Armiza here, you know. You know, the women have to do this, and they have to do that, and they have to do that. And it's hitting Tinek too, by the way. My friend is a rabbi in Tinek, and he's telling me what's going on over there with Lechem Mishnah and Kiddush, and who knows what. I don't want to go into it here, because I know in this neighborhood, it's a very sensitive topic. Okay. I come from the old school, you know. So he says that they are obligated according to the Ramban in Shachris u'Mincha. And in that sense, women are no different than men. Oh, what about Meirev? So, to support his position that women are obligated in Shachris and Mincha, it's not sufficient for the Mishnah Berurah to quote the Ramban, because who says we pass like the Ramban? But he wants to say that even according to the Rambam, women are obligated in Mincha, in Shachris and Mincha, and that's based on the Shagas Aryeh. So we're really on the same page as the Mishnah Berurah. Where's the Chiddush of the Mishnah Berurah? He wants to suggest that women are exempt from Tfilas Arvis, from Meirev. You know, it's enough to obligate them in Mincha and Shachris and Mincha. Don't go too far here and add Meirev to boot. Now, offhand, that's a big chiddush, because I would say that what's the difference? You know, Erev, Avoka, Vitzarayim, you know, the three tefillahs that Rabbanan established, women should be included.
But see, it starts over there.
What do you say? Right? So, without looking at the Mishnah Berurah, you already can anticipate what his answer is going to be. Why is Meirev different?
Sure.
Exactly. And he's going to insist that we paskin that tefillahs Arvis is Rishus. Now, this concept of Tfilas Arvis, which just requires a shear unto itself, has to be taken under advisement. The Rambam writes that Tfilas Arvis of Shus, but we've accepted it upon ourselves as a chova. And the Mishnah Berurah is going to insist that we means the men folk, but the women never took it upon themselves as a chova. In the Rambam's favorite reference, that's a very difficult stretch to put it in. But the plot grows thicker, because the Ravid holds that once we accepted on ourselves Tfilas Arvis as a Chova, it upgrades Arvis to the same identical status as that of the other two Tfilas of Shachris and Mincha. So for example, the Ravid says that if in the middle of Meirev you all of a sudden remind yourself, which happens to me from time to time, and if there's anyone else here in the room who's bold enough to admit that it happens to them, but it really happens to me, that, oh, I did have a Meirev already. So the Ravid sheet is that you have to stop midway, and that's it. You know, you can't go on. The Rambam says that you could go on, because the first half of Shmon Esri you davened as a Rishus, and now you can daven the second half as a Nedava, and a Nedava and a Rishus can integrate into one whole. The Ravid, on the other hand, holds that the first half of Meirev is a Chova, because we've accepted Meirev on ourselves as a Chova, and therefore you cannot integrate the first half of Meirev with the second half. I don't know if you followed anything I just said, but you did? Okay, I went a little fast. Then he has a discussion about Tfilas Musaf. And he wants to claim, in the name of the Tzlat, that's the Nodim Yehuda, that women are exempt from Tfilas HaMusaf. And honestly, I thought that the Magen Avraham would certainly join the bandwagon here, because, again, he's always trying to justify the lady folk. And he would say that women, like the Nodim Yehuda, are exempt from Tfilas HaMusaf. But truth be told, it's very difficult to understand the Tzlat. Because when it comes to karbanos, women have no different status than men. Certainly with regard to a korban tzibur. Now, musaf is not obligatory neither on you nor on me nor on anybody as an individual. Tfilas, the korban musaf is a korban tzibur. And if the rabbanan established tfilas musaf to replace the korban tzibur, why shouldn't women be included? And it's true that the tzlach might have cases of karbanos where women are, the case of women is what's called yeshus, it's called a voluntary karban. You know, like for example, women in karban pesach might be voluntary. I mean, that's machlokes tadayim. But nevertheless, with regard to tefillas musaf, you know, you have to understand why women should be exempt. And yet, if you see at the end of this Mishnah Berurah, he says, "Umogad Avram pasak dechayavos." That the Magen Avraham took the intuitive logic to its conclusion, and therefore he paskin that although women are not obligated to tefillah on a daily basis, other than that one tchina that they recite in the morning, but when it comes to Shabbos, they're obligated in tefillah mitzvah.
The
Mishnah
Berurah paskin like the minority, the majority.
I'm not sure exactly how he paskins tefillah mitzvah tzlakos into smugglin. I'm sorry. You're talking about my head was in Musaf. Yeah, getting back to Myriv. Yeah. So the Mishnah Berurah accepts that Tefillas Aris is a Rishus, and therefore the women never accepted upon themselves as a Chovah. Right? That's what he says. Mikomakom, one line up from the bottom. Nashim lo kiblu alehen. And therefore he justifies Ruban Enemis Palin Aris. But I also have to tell you that a Mishnah Berurah Jewess, let me say it that way, would certainly be davening two times a day. So it's very interesting in my mind that we still haven't really completely hit the home run here. Most of the Orthodox world, at least the yeshiva world, let's say that way, lives by the Mishnah Berurah. I mean, when I give a shiur and I disagree with the Mishnah Berurah, I mean, the whole place stands up and they're up in arms against me. How can you possibly disagree with the Mishnah Berurah? My Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, would only quote the Mishnah Berurah when he felt he was wrong, and he argued with the Mishnah Berurah. And that's not to take it, believe it, that's not at all to take away the greatness of the Mishnah Berurah. I mean, don't misunderstand me, but Torah, Hiva, Luman, and Yitzarach, Mokam, Tishultan. But yet, when it comes to Tefillah, all of a sudden, the Mishnah Berurah gets lost in the shuffle, and I don't know, again, I can't do a seker here, but I wonder how many women out there, Orthodox women, are really davening twice a day. I don't know. Well, we didn't study the Mishnah Berurah about Kriyat Shema. It's a long discussion in the Mishnah Berurah about Kriyat Shema, and he very strongly advocates that the women recite Kriyat Shema. I just want to point out Rabbeinu Yonah to you, which is on page 2 of your Maror Makomos. And he writes, in the sense, he's sort of like the Magen Avraham in one sense, because he's wondering about the sort of the laid-back attitude of women towards tefillah, but he's not worried about how often they daven. He's worried about the language that they daven in. Now, I'm assuming that he's referring to Spanish, because Rabbeinu Yonah, Spanish, Espanol, because Rabbeinu Yonah lived in Spain. But he testifies that Nagu b'chol ha'olim shanoshim mispalos b'shara lishonos, that women will daven in other languages, which means in the vernacular. So for example, if you go to Greece today, they'll give you a prayer book that has Hebrew on the one side of the page and Greek on the other side of the page. And the same is true in Italy or in Spain,
or in America.
In every country, they'll give you the vernacular on that side of the page. Oh, so the women, according to the testimony of Rabbeinu Yonah, going back almost 1,000 years, would daven in the vernacular. And he's not happy. He says, Kevon shechayavos b'tefillah, since women are obligated to tefillah, lo hayola hen lispal el b'loshen kodesh, they should have davened like the men in loshen kodesh. Now, personally, I would advocate that the women dafka would pray in the vernacular. Why would I be excited about that idea? If women don't know Hebrew, they don't know loshen kodesh. Why weren't the women davening in Lashon Kodesh? They couldn't read it, or maybe they could read it, but they certainly didn't understand it. So I would say, you're davening Hashem, at least understand what you're saying, if you can't understand the Lashon Kodesh. But it could be the Rabbeinu Yonah is saying, why don't the Rabbanim make more of an effort to teach them Lashon Kodesh? There's be special classes, Hilchas Tefillah for women, or Birei Tefillah for women, so the women can fulfill the mitzvah tefillah they're obligated in, the way the men do. So then he says, Rabbanei Tzarfa Zal, But in France, he's probably referring to Provence, he says, Rotzim Lases Tam Leminag Vyomrim Shekshayachin Mispal Bitfila Atzmo, the Atzmo, Shemispal of Osa Atzibur, Kmotfil Satzibur, Kmotfil Satzibur Dainin, Levi Yachel Yomri Yachin, the Loshna Cheres. He says the following. It depends what the women are doing. If the women are just reciting some sort of creative prayer, you know, an original prayer, then it's a problem. But the Rabbanit Tzarfas are saying that what the women are doing is they are reading the actual tefillah in a different language. It's word for word the same tefillah, just translated into a different language. And they want to be Mechadish HaChidosh. That if you're davening the same identical tefillah which the entire tzibur is davening, again, I don't think he means here, you know, what we call tefillah b'tzibur, you know, the chazen, chazos hashat, those kind of concepts I don't think he's referring to. What he means is that the community of Israel has accepted upon itself a certain standard nusach tefillah, and the women are davening that same tefillah, again, in terms of its content and its meaning, as the men, as the tefillahs, members of the tzibur, but albeit in a different language. And he says that we find, for example, the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos says, "Li'olav al yishal adam tzorach b'lashon aramis," that a person, when he's praying his own personal prayer on behalf of a sick person, he should not use lashon aramis. And again, Rashi gives a very strange explanation there in Shabbos that the Malachi Asharis don't understand Aramis and therefore they won't give him the support that he needs up in heaven. But whatever it might be, that's only because he's davening his own unique original tefillah. That's not the tefillah that the tzibur is davening. Aval tefillah sheyidua letzibur, afilu shemispal osa bebeso, mispal betzibur dami, im eino yodeh lashon kodesh, yachal latzeis b'chol lashon. The Rabbi Yonah says in the name of the Chachmei Tzarfas that if the entire tefillah, the entire tzibur is davening that identical tefillah, even though he's not coming to daven with the tzibur, but that engenders a certain status to the tefillah, let's call it the Chetzesh al tefillah, is now a tefillah ha-tzibur, and therefore that tefillah could be recited in any way. So Rabosai, we're about halfway through today, and I'd like to finish this up on Wednesday, regular time. And I apologize to anyone if there was any mistake about the timing today. Right? You can pass that on to anyone else. But what I'd like to do is just spend 3 minutes on a summary, an overview of everything we've learned. The bottom line of everything we learned is that women should be obligated at least twice a day in tefillah. I might be less demanding of them as far as Lashon Kodesh is concerned. I would encourage that we teach them Lashon Kodesh at least in the barest minimum as far as tefillah, but if need be, let them daven Shmon Esrei in Laz, in any language that they understand. But at least the minimum of twice a day. Lo mi boy, according to the Ramban, because the Ramban holds that our whole sugya about the chiyuv tefillah on women is referring to tefillah derabbanan, certainly shachas and mincha they have to daven. But afilu, even if we go with the Rambam shita, that tefillah d'oraisa is a mitzvah seishal laz man grom, and therefore women obligated, and therefore you might question, well, did the Rabbanan impose their chiv derabbanan of erev avokat sarayim on women? It would seem intuitively, and from the fact that the Rambam doesn't mention any exemption of women or any difference between women and men, that women, even according to the Rambam, should be obligated midrabbanan in shachris u'mincha, and that certainly is the way the Shagasari understood the Rambam. But finally, we have the Magen Avraham who comes to the, you know, steps up to the plate to justify the fact that most women did not daven shachris u'mincha. And he says that we're standing on the shoulders of the Rambam according to his understanding of the Rambam. That although tefillah d'oraisa is mitzvah seisha hazman groma, but tefillah d'rabbanan is a mitzvah seisha hazman groma, and therefore women are exempt. And let's add that we found a precedent for the Rabbanan exempting women from a mitzvah seisha hazman groma in the case of Kiddush HaChodesh. But keep in mind, that's because Kiddush HaChodesh is pure d'rabbanan. And therefore the Rabbanan have no reason to impose a chiyuv on women. And if they did have a reason, then they would be mechadesh a chiyuv, like they did in the cases of Afein Hayu Bosan Nes. And therefore Kiddush HaChodesh is not really a very good precedent Kiddush Levana, I should say, it's not really a good precedent, you know, a base for standing on Kiddush Levana and accepting the conclusion of the Magen Avraham that women are exempt from Tefillah Derabbanan, because even on the Derabbanan level we say we apply the principles of Zman Gromen Hashem Keturos. That seems to be a weak explanation of the Rambam, because if the Torah obligates women, why should the Rabbanan obligate women? And therefore we would advocate that women surely should daven twice a day minimum. As far as Meiriv is concerned, if you're a, what I call a Mishnah Berurah Yid, then you go to Mishnah Berurah, then yesh al mi lismoch. The Mishnah Berurah wants to say that perhaps even the Shagas Aryeh, who obligates women, would exempt them from Meiriv. Again, I find that very hard to believe, that the Shagas Aryeh would do such a thing. But the reason for the Mishnah Berurah's leniency with regard to Meiriv is because Tfilas Arvis Rishus. And women never accepted it upon themselves as a chov. It's interesting that if you think about the following scenario, a woman who davens Meiriv, then according to the Magen Avraham, she fulfills a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's very interesting. The Magen Avraham says that Tfilah d'Rabbanan is not obligatory for women. And even if we disagree with the Magen Avraham, says the Mishnah Berurah, Meiriv is not obligatory. And yet, paradoxically, the same Magen Avraham who exempts women from Tefillah Derabbanan would have to admit that if a woman decides that the only tefillah she's going to daven in a 24-hour period is Meiriv, like for example during the winter months, you know, in certain countries, you know, the night is a lot longer than the day during the winter. And therefore, it's easiest for the, you know, let's say the women put the kids to sleep at 8, 9 o'clock, and then they want to daven Meiriv. So according to Magen Avraham, even though he's the most lenient with regard to women, and nevertheless, he would admit that women in such a case are mekayim the mitzvah d'oraisa of tefillah. But the last point I want to make here, Rabosai, and with this I'll let you go, is that the Magen Avraham, to justify women, says the following. Let's go back to the language of the Magen Avraham. He says, "Midoraisa dai b'pam echad b'yom b'chol nusach sheyirtzu chenagu rov nashim sheyispal zizidema midei boker samach l'netila ezo bakasha u'midoraisa dai b'zeh." Could you please underline those two words, ezo bakasha? And here I want to share with you something from Rav Chaim Brisker, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Rav Chaim said, these two words, Ezo Bakasha, and then the Raisa Daibazeh, very difficult. Very difficult. The Rambam, on a Daraisa level, says that there are three different elements of tefillah that are absolutely in this, that are absolutely indispensable. And what are those three elements? Shevach, Bakasha, and Hodaya. Now, it's true that the women wake up and they say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me, you know, nachas for my children, give me health, give me possessions that I should be able to serve you, whatever they say that the Nashim Tzadkani is. But that's not enough, even on a Doraisa level, even when we take the mitzvah Doraisa and the bare bones mitzvah, nevertheless, it does have three elements to it. Again, it doesn't have a set nusach, the Rambam says, and every individual could express themselves in their own personal way, but it must comprise these three elements. Nothing less will do. So when the Magen Avraham says the women just recited Bakasha, and therefore they yotzei the mitzvah d'oraisa, tzarech im gadol, that's very difficult. So now we have two objections to the Magen Avraham. Number one, we don't understand the Magen Avraham's interpretation of the Rambam, and therefore his conclusion that we could justify the women based on the Rambam sheet, because women were never obligated to be rabbanan in all three tefillos, in any of the three tefillos. But we have a second objection to the Magen Avraham if he concludes to justify the women that one bakash is enough even on the d'oraisa level. That's not true. Okay, Rabbi Osar, we'll stop here.